gut stuff might be uncomfortable for you to talk about, but it's even more uncomfortable for you to deal with. And you have better things to do this year. Don't let your gut get in the way of that. Kick off the year of the habit and get science-backed digestive support during Ritual's New Year's sale. Their 3-in-1 clinically studied prebiotics, probiotics, and postbiotic help support a balanced gut microbiome. The delayed release capsule is designed to help reach the colon where probiotics can actually survive and grow, so you can focus less on your gut and more on sharpening your salsa dancing skills or whatever your 2026 goals are. Start a habit that sticks with 40% off your first month, plus a free gift with purchase at ritual.com/podcast. That's ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
But first, Donald Trump is again due to arrive at Davos for the World Economic Forum. We said the same yesterday, but an electrical issue aboard Air Force One forced the plane to turn around 1 hour into its journey before the president and crew switched to another aircraft to resume their trip to Switzerland. The previously economically focused forum, as in its title, is becoming completely dominated by Trump and Greenland. Now, to get the latest, we're joined from Davos by Catherine Carlson, reporter with Politico. Catherine, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Now, I said in my opening that Europe is finding its voice in terms of articulating a resistance to Trump's carry-on.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you need to look also at the personalities that you're going to see in town in Davos today for Donald Trump being here. It's currently not clear what effect the travel disruption on Trump's side is going to have on the meetings that he'll have here today or when his speech is going to be. But we already saw French President Emmanuel Macron. He was on stage yesterday. He's left. He's not in Davos anymore after Trump shared his personal text message to him overnight.
So that was a calculated snub to Donald Trump by Macron.
It's certainly how it was perceived. Whether or not that was the intention, we'll see. But also, we're going to see these European leaders popping up again on Thursday for the emergency summit of European heads of government in Brussels. So today's really a decisive day for sort of laying the groundwork and seeing what concessions they can extract from the US before they decide their unified position tomorrow in Brussels.
Now, what is being made of Ursula von der Leyen's speech, which was much more forceful than heretofore?
Yeah, I think it was an interesting speech. I mean, she was playing up the EU's relationship to other partners. She talked about India. She talked about the EU's own kind of economic power. I think it was really, you know, people say she's growing a backbone here. But again, everybody's waiting for Trump to arrive. Everybody's waiting for these crucial meetings that should happen today. Flight restrictions pending. And then I think we'll see the decisive movement in terms of actual decisions.
So the question of counter tariffs and so on still very much on the table. Are they clearly articulated? I mean, we're always told that Europe has, as we quoted from our own Deputy Prime Minister Simon Harris, Trump doesn't have all the cards. Europe has cards too. Are they articulating? Is anybody at any level in Davos articulating how those weapons, those cards, might be deployed?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's sort of the talk of the town here. It's almost everybody's very focused on Greenland from a defense perspective and from the future of NATO, but also for the knock-on effects from the EU-US trade deal in particular, but the tariff situation. US Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent was talking to journalists yesterday, and he basically told everybody to calm down. He said that he didn't think governments would escalate, so he doesn't think that those retaliatory tariffs are going to happen. But again, all eyes will be in Brussels on Thursday as leaders decide whether they want to hit the US with those $93 billion of retaliatory tariffs, if they want to use the so-called trade bazooka that they have, which is a bit stronger, or if they go on ahead as usual. But also remember, the EU-US trade deal that was agreed last year is currently in flux. It's going to be suspended because the European Parliament isn't going to ratify it.
Now, the stuff from Bessent was quite extraordinary. He said the worst thing countries can do is escalate against the United States. And, you know, Trump constantly escalates against other countries. What I'm urging everyone to do is sit back, take a deep breath and let things play out. As I said on April the 2nd, the worst thing countries can do is escalate against the United States. I would urge all countries to stick with their trade deals we have agreed on them. So, I mean, he's saying to Europe and others, stick with your trade deals. We won't, though, because that's the subtext all the time. Trump will deploy tariffs as he wishes. Nothing to do with deals that are already signed and should be sacrosanct.
Yeah, I think Bessent's in a complicated position because he's trying to calm down the financial markets. I mean, what we also saw with Trump's massive tariffs last year was that it's when the markets respond, when stocks are going down, when people are pulling their money out and putting it into gold instead, when the US is seen as a less attractive economic investment, that's what makes the Trump administration walk back. So I think Bessent's really trying to calm down the markets there by saying, no, no, everything's fine. The US is still doing great economically.
However, watching Bessent yesterday talking about people who might have invested for their future, pension funds, I don't know whether you saw that contribution where he's saying, you know, if your parents have bought 5 or 10 or 12 houses for their pension, they shouldn't worry. Now, what kind of real world is Bessent living in if that's how he thinks it works?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. The US is facing an affordability crisis. Inflation is running rampant. The administration's engaged in a fight with the central bank over interest rates. It's a very complicated economic picture. And it's also, I mean, the only thing Trump has actually said he's going to talk about in the speech today is housing. So it's also a question of if he really engages on those geopolitical issues or if it's predominantly a speech that's directed to the domestic market on something like housing policy.
Now, how much is the United States interfering in the whole Davos project? I mean, every year it's the World Economic Forum and there are many things on the agenda, including things like a meeting scheduled between Zelensky and Trump. But, you know, they just determine what way this is going to go. Is there much resentment about this, the dominant play by the United States?
I wouldn't say that there's resentment. I'd say that, if anything, it's made Davos a more kind of attractive place to be. And all of these business leaders who are usually coming to meet with each other and have talks about the future of financial markets and investment, they're all following these geopolitical updates very closely because obviously they have a big business focus in it. So I think it's really interesting for them. But in general, sort of the flavor of this forum, it very much is the sort of the Trump Davos, the MAGA Davos. I mean, even just today, when they do finally arrive, the whole center of Davos will be shut down. There won't be any internet. People's devices may be glitching. I mean, they're really coming out in full force with a massive presence. So they're certainly being felt here.
So the bullying extends to pretty much every aspect of this. You know, other world leaders can arrive, the Macrons and whatever. They can arrive and they get a level of security. But once the big boy arrives, everything changes.
Yeah, everything is absolutely stepped up for the US while they're here today and tomorrow. And even the fact that there's been this Air Force One delay, it's thrown all the timings into question. We on the press side haven't heard anything yet about updated timings for Trump's speech or for those bilateral meetings. And everybody's hanging on the agenda and the arrival, really.
Now, I want to play you something, and you've heard it already, I'm sure. And this is Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, chastising the Europeans for their lack of backbone.
Just, I can't take this complicity. People rolling over. I should have brought a bunch of knee pads for all the world leaders. I mean, handing out crowns and handing out, I mean, this is pathetic. Nobel Prizes, they are being given away. I mean, it's just pathetic. And I hope people understand how pathetic they look on the world stage. I mean, at least from an American perspective, it's embarrassing.
So what should Europe be doing?
The Europeans should decide for themselves what to do. But one thing they can't do is what they've been doing, and they've been playing. This guy is playing folks for fools, and it's embarrassing.
Europeans think this is diplomacy, and this will ultimately
This is
work.
Diplomacy with Donald Trump? He's a T-Rex. You mate with him, or he devours you. One or the other.
And you're
being devoured? Need to stand, but no, the Europeans could be if they continue down this path and process. They need to stand tall, stand firm, stand united. A year ago we should have been having this conversation, and they didn't. Okay, and now you're paying the price. Wake up. Where the hell has everybody been? Stop with this bullshit diplomacy of sort of niceties, and somehow we're all going to figure it out. Stop saying one thing privately and another publicly. Have some spine.
So there's Gavin Newsom chastising European leaders, world leaders generally. What was the reaction to that contribution?
I think it's absolutely in line with what we've been hearing at this Davos. It seems to be, it's really a wake-up call for European and global leaders who, for the first year of the Trump presidency, they've been trying to play it softly, trying to reduce the tension, trying to keep dialogue going. And now it seems to be a sort of reality check of the bullying is not actually going to end. We need to stand up to Trump if anything's going to change. But the question is, can the leaders stay united enough to do that?
Now, last evening, before he headed off on his initially abortive journey to Switzerland, he had a press conference and he was talking about his achievements in year one. But most of the time, he kept flashing up pictures of people arrested in Minneapolis. It was quite a bizarre spectacle. But when he was pressed on NATO and all the rest, you know, he said, NATO used to be useless, but kind of I've made NATO great again kind of thing. And it's going to be all good news tomorrow. What are people interpreting from that contribution?
Yeah, I mean, for everything you can say about Trump, he really is a master of surprise. So it's sort of divided on the ground here between people who are expecting big geopolitical bombshells in his speech today, or if they think all of the major shockers have already come and he's actually just going to come along and either be very polite or talk about housing policy or domestic issues. People obviously really want to hear his updates on Greenland, on NATO, on EU-US trade. But there's a complete possibility that he might just not engage with any of that.
All right, well, we shall wait and see. It'll be afternoon our time before he begins his contribution, and we will certainly report on this station about that. Catherine, thank you very much for joining us. Catherine Carlson is a reporter with Politico. Some of the texts coming in. What does Putin want? Europe divided and broken. Same with NATO. Trump is trying to deliver for Putin, so says Michael from Tipperary. Trump is mad. He's threatening a country with invasion because they didn't give the peace prize to him. Well, then the Peace Prize Committee is a Norwegian and the Danes hold sway over Greenland. Anyway, because they didn't back the Peace Prize for him. He's a bully as an individual and as a president. Our so-called leaders, both at home and in Europe, should stand up and tell Trump's Americans to F off. Over 8 billion of a population worldwide to America's 350 million. We don't need them. That's from Paul G. Now, an interesting thing I got on my email. This is from a guy called Pat Sheehan, and he's from Australia, and he has this to say about Trump, and I must say it's hard not to disagree with him. And this is how it goes. All right, I'm saying this as an Australian who's absolutely sick to death of watching the world hold its breath every time this blabbering, blubbering, blithering, blustering opens his grotesque mouth. You see, folks, as far as I can tell, from the outside, this is what it looks like. America has elected a man who talks and behaves like a megalomaniac, and the rest of the planet is supposed to just trust that he won't completely lose his grip on reality and drag us all into catastrophe. You want to steal Greenland. You want Cuba to make a deal before it's too late. You talk about bombing or invading Mexico. You kidnap a president and knock off people's oil in Venezuela. You joke about annexing Canada like it should be a shopping center car park you can just claim because you feel like it. Do you have any idea how insane that sounds to the rest of us? This isn't tough talk. This isn't strategy. This is a deeply unstable old man threatening sovereign nations like he's flipping over a monopoly board because he's losing. This is not normal behavior. This is not leadership. This is not strength. This is a walking, talking international crisis. And Americans, this is where it comes back to you. Not just MAGA, not just the people who voted for him, all of you, because when the President of the United States starts talking about kidnapping leaders, annexing countries, and issuing ultimatums like a mob boss, the rest of the world doesn't get a vote. We just get the consequences. You don't get to shrug and say, well, I didn't vote for him. That might fly at a dinner party, but it doesn't fly when nuclear powers are watching this circus and recalculating their own red lines. This is your system, your presidency, your responsibility. From the outside, it looks like America lit the fuse and then wandered off while everyone else stand around the bomb wondering who's going to cut that wire. Let's be brutally honest. This man is nearly 80. He's frail. He's clearly deteriorating. He's not some long-term visionary playing chess. He's at the end of his lifespan and acting like nothing matters after him. That's the most dangerous type of leader there is. A man with nothing to lose and an ego that demands constant feeding. Why should the rest of the world pay for that? Why should families in Europe, Asia, Australia, South America, anywhere have to worry about war, trade collapse, energy shocks or global instability because America couldn't get its own house in order? This is not about left or right anymore. This is about basic sanity. This is about stopping a psychopath before he does something irreversible. Because once a war starts, once a country gets invaded, once alliances fracture beyond repair, you don't get a reset button. So yes, this falls on Americans. You got the world into this mess, and you damn well better roll your sleeves up and get us out of it. Impeach him, remove him, contain him, do whatever your system allows, but do it fast. Because the rest of us just want to live our lives, raise our families, pay our bills, and not wake up one morning to find World War III started because an unhinged old man wanted to feel powerful one last time. This isn't funny anymore. It isn't theatrical. It isn't tolerable. Get this lunatic under wraps before he ruins it for everyone.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.